All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. What's the need for training? We train because we care about others. We agree to stand, fight, and die for those that we love. Become an asset to your community, not a liability. Visit VindictaSolutions.com. Come get some training. You can also visit ReadyMadeResources.com, where the next two training courses are going to be at. Starting in February, on the 10th, we have the Shoot, Move, Communicate course. This is a two-day course. The course costs a total of $650. It will be running daytime and nighttime. And then we also have March 14th through the 17th. This is our big four-day course. That is $1,000. We do feed people lunch and dinner on that course, the two-day course. In February, we will not be feeding anybody, but we'll be getting as many reps in the shoot house as possible. No real big events or scenarios. It's just nonstop training. But that big course in February is the fun one. So if you don't have any of the basics, visit us in February for the basics and come right back in March for some of the advanced stuff. Hope to see you there. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. So I got a little bit of scripture to go over with you today. I got some news to go over with you today. I want to talk about a lot of rumors I'm hearing, a lot of discussions I'm having with people. And it appears everybody has civil conflict on the mind. I got an article right here from Zero Hedge. GOP congressman says that Biden is staging a civil war by taking down Texas border barriers. Clay Higgins of Louisiana has charged that the Biden administration is staging a civil war by removing razor wire barriers placed along sections of the southern border by the Texas National Guard. So, we have this thing, weird thing going on in Texas right now, where the Supreme Court just ruled in favor of the Biden administration over the state of Texas, saying that the federal government can remove physical barriers at the border put in place by Texas. Now, what we have is a unique state versus the federal government action. And I think the uniqueness of this is that when the Texas citizens start to make their voice known and they decide to be the next barrier instead of the concertina wire, now we're going to have a real big issue. Because where does civil conflict come from? Where does a civil war come from? By just putting up C-wire and stopping illegals. Are the illegals and the C-wire attacking one another? No. What he's talking about is the eventuality of having American citizens circumvent law enforcement and circumvent the National Guard, circumvent the Border Patrol, and the U.S. law in order to protect their homes. I can't believe we're at this point in 2024 of all years for all this to be starting. But I'm not surprised. You're not surprised. Last week, Representative Higgins vowed that the DHS secretary, my old boss, Mayorkas, will be impeached. Congressman Clay Higgins, Republican from Louisiana, introduced articles of impeachment against Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas for his failure to secure the southern border, dereliction of duty, and wanton disregard for his constitutional oath. The two articles span 15 pages, judiciously outlining Secretary Mayorkas's deliberate actions to transition DHS away from actual law enforcement of law, disintegrate the operational control of our southern border, and cede U.S. sovereignty to criminal cartels. Further, the article clearly documents Secretary Mayorkas' abuse of Title VIII authority, which resulted in the unlawful release of hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants into the United States interior. The founders intended that impeachment of a senior executive should require clear evidence of intentional, repeated unconstitutional or illegal actions that bring measurable injury to our republic. Secretary Mayorkas has long ago crossed that threshold. His arrogant disregard for the security and sanctity of the American people has been shocking to behold. I think that in my 62 years, I've never met a more pompous, insidious man. I prepared the foundational posit of these articles long ago, yet I've been prayerful that impeachment might not be required. I've given him fair warning to resign his position. Now he shall reap what he hath sown. Impeach is not enough. I'll say that. Impeach is not enough. We should be doing more than just impeaching that man. I think that the next problem that we have here in Texas, at least in Texas, is that if we're estimating it's 10,000 people a day that's coming across the border, 10,000 people a day, and 30 days in a month equals 300,000 people coming into Texas every month. Where are they going? Who's housing them? Who's funneling them? Who's feeding them? There's a logistical train that has not been discovered, or we do know where it is, and it's not being sought after by law enforcement. We know that many of the Jesuit churches and the Catholic churches are involved with this. By Catholic churches, Catholics, I don't mean that you're directly involved in this. I mean, there is a New World Order scapegoat, another rat line that has been created to bring these people into America. And what better of an ability to hide criminals and terrorists than amongst the population of people from third world nations who are trying to escape their poverty and come into America? I think many Americans wouldn't be so adamant about shutting down the border if it was women and children coming across the border. If that was the primary, I think many people would say, you know, let's try and figure something out. Let's try and work this out. It's children. But it's not children. Instead, what we have is, I think the last estimate I saw was around 70% of people coming across the border. And this is me talking with other people that are currently in ICE, that are currently in DHS. So not stuff you're going to find on the internet. I'm talking about guys that are down on the border. The higher percentage of people coming across the border are men of fighting age. There is the clue. Refugees as a weapon being used by another government or governments to destabilize an establishment or another political interest, government, whatever title you want to claim, in order to destabilize the economy, destabilize the local population, and sway votes. That is what is happening. Regardless of what some socialite on mainstream media is going to say, that is what's happening. And Texas and New Mexico and Arizona and California are taking the brunt of it. I was just on a talk show, and we had a guy who was a former HSI agent, a Homeland Security Investigations agent. He is going to be running for office, and his whole point for running for office is to be able to try, his name is Victor Avila, to be able to try and to expose what is happening on the border so that people can have a better point of reference. And the show that we're on was Awake Nation. At least twice a month, I'm on there on Mondays, Awake Nation. So what Victor and I were talking about was our shared experiences from the border, from the operations we've been on or the investigations that have occurred down there, and how it impacts the entire country, and it's destabilizing our economy. You have no idea the amount of narcotics that comes across the border. Most people have no idea the amount of human trafficking that is going from the border heading north into America, and then in America heading south into Mexico. So that is a two-way human trafficking chain, goes up and down, just like it used to be. Money and bullets go south of the border. Money, bullets, and guns, they go south of the border to Mexico, and the drugs and people come up into America. But now it's actually going back and forth. So we have a truly destabilized border in America. And we almost never talk about the northern border. The northern border harbors just as many problems as does the southern border. In 2017, DHS conducted an assessment of the northern border security and concluded that while the northern border remains an area of limited threat in comparison to the U.S. southern border, safeguarding and securing the northern border presents unique challenges. The most common threat to the United States public safety along the northern border continues to be the bidirectional flow of illicit drugs. Transnational criminal organizations are also active along the border, and they continually adapt their drug production, smuggling methods, and routes to avoid detection by U.S. and Canadian law enforcement. Potential terror threats are primarily from homegrown violent extremism in Canada, who are not included in the United States government's Consolidated Terrorism Watch List and could therefore enter the United States legally at northern border ports of entry without suspicion. And so, with what the Supreme Court has announced, I'm very disappointed in the Supreme Court, who isn't anymore. I think the Supreme Court either has somebody blackmailing them. I don't know. They got something on somebody in order to get this vote, because they have been voting fairly conservative over the last 2 years. And there's no way it is legal for the Biden administration to keep an open border. But I don't think that was what they voted for, was an open border. They voted that it was legal for the Biden government, for the U.S. government, to take down these barriers from the Texas government. But who cares about that? Who cares about that at all? I know that Texas right now is saying, up yours, Joe Biden, you're not going to be taking it down. So what happens when Border Patrol or the National Guard is forced to go to that area of Texas in Eagle Pass and take down the barriers, while the Texas National Guard and Texas DPS law enforcement, the state troopers, intervene? What happens there? Who tells who what to do? In Texas, the government of Texas supersedes the federal government. But on the border, which is federal territory in terms of jurisdiction, the government can tell Texas what to do. Eventually there's going to be a disagreement here that will most likely go to court, and we'll just be all in standstill until then. And I think what you're also going to see is that you're going to see the Joe Biden government. They'll use this as some hem and haw You know, look at the Republicans are making things unsafe for Americans, making things unsafe for the immigrants. You know, people are claiming that, you know, we should be focusing on education and not deportation. It's interesting because in Maine, where in New York, we have people who live in, I think it's like 60 to 70 square foot apartments for $2,000 a month. 60 to 70 square foot apartments. I don't even know how big my room, my office right here has got to be the standard 10 by 10 room. I'm at least 100 square foot little room in here. And I'm almost wall to wall with all my gear. Of course, I've collected a lot of stuff over a lot of years. But you cut this thing in half, and that's what people are living in. And, you know, paying $2,000 a month to live in that shoebox, and yet the illegals in Maine are going to have a fully furnished hotel that they can live in for 2 years and not pay anything and not pay it back. But yet Americans who were escaping Israel had to sign a promissory note to the government that they were going to pay back the government for evacuating them from Israel during a time of war. I believe at this point in time, it's safe to say our government doesn't have our best interests at heart. So what should we focus on? What should we be preparing for? A lot of stuff is coming out about the pedophilia networks. I can't wait for all that disgustingness to be exposed to the light of day. Yep. I can't wait for all that to be exposed. I can't say what I wish would happen to those people. But I'm sure all of you could probably understand. I mean, if it were a perfect world, we would just have a courtyard in the middle of the city square of every town and a firing squad. If it was a fair country. But yet, I don't know how many people know this. I think I've told this story before. Maybe I haven't. When I first broached law enforcement, I was working at the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department. I was a jailer. I was going to go through their jailer program. So you work in the jail, and that pays for the academy. So I'm 3 months in, and I was pulling overtime because I worked in the maximum unit. They always want guys like us, guys who will fight, who are not afraid to get in the mix of a bunch of people. They always want us in the worst areas. And so I was pulling overtime, and I was in the medium unit. And this was it's labeled like the alphabets. So like the cells were like Q, R, S, T, and then U. And so I was in Q cell where there's about 98 to 100 inmates, can't be more than 100 inmates per cell. And you get one CO and you're locked in there with them. And they were all pedophiles. The next cell across from me, because it's four cells on the bottom, four cells on the top, two-story unit. And the next cell across from me was all pedophiles. Come to find out, the entire lower level were all pedophiles, child molesters, rapists. That's where all the sex offenders went. And so I've never worked this unit before. And so I'm just, you know, quiet, and I'm observing, as you should be. We're not there to be friends with people. And so in walks three or four new inmates. And it's the first time I ever heard of anything like this. And I know it still goes on today. But these guys were coming in for the weekend to serve their sentence. Okay. They were arrested, prosecuted, and the judge allowed them to serve their time on the weekends. Sometimes guys who are backed up on child support get to do that. Sometimes if, I don't know, you stump your toe and yell a loud word that someone doesn't like, maybe you can serve your time on the weekend. You wouldn't expect a pedophile to be one of those people, would you? This guy was in his, I don't know, early 60s. He was a pediatrician. He was a fat, little gray-haired bowling ball. He was a pediatrician, probably hadn't seen his toes in 20 years. And he got busted for molesting, assaulting children. It was more than several after the investigation was all done, with more than several parents had filed. I mean, could you imagine you take your child to go see the doctor because your child's sick? Oh, make sure you go to the doctor and get your checkups. Well, we don't do that stuff anymore. When we're sick, we you know, let it go through our system, babysit ourselves. If it's that bad, we'll go to the emergency room. I don't feed into this medical industrial complex crap anymore in the insurance agencies. But here we are, and I have these guys that come. I get them on my roster. I got to sign them in. And so over a period of like 3 weeks of working overtime, and I kept getting put in the same cell, in Q cell, for 3 weeks. It was miserable. I saw this guy 3 weekends in a row, and he would come in there for, you know, Friday night to Monday morning. And then he went back to being a pediatrician Monday to Friday. He didn't lose his license. Tell me how that works. You tell me in a perfect world how you can be a serial child sex offender and still keep your business where you assaulted children. I hate jails. I hate prisons. I hate being around those people. I know there's reformed people in there. I get it. But when you're around these people, some of these guys are the absolute scum of the earth. Some dudes just did something stupid and they're serving time. They're getting out and they'll be good people afterwards. Stuff happens. But my Lord. When I worked in federal prison, I came back from being overseas as a contractor overseas. I got to work for the Department of Justice. I worked at FCC Beaumont, Texas. I worked in the low, I worked in the medium, I worked in the penitentiary, I worked in the camp, because we have four installations there. You have a camp, a low, a medium, and a penitentiary. A camp is a prison without fences and with like one or two guards. And those are the guys, if you ever see them, they're in green jumpsuits. If you didn't know this, they actually get, plumbing license, welding license. They actually, and this was 2011. They had a augmented virtual reality welding thing that I got to watch them take for their certifications to learn how to weld. It was all virtual reality. It's crazy. So anyways, when I was pulling overtime, because I worked in the penitentiary, of course, where else would I work? I was at the low. I was pulling overtime. And I remember there was an SIS investigations. That's our investigators, the SIS. And so we were there was a bolo. It's a be on the lookout. There was a bolo for a child pedophile gang group. I don't know what they were describing them. There ended up being like 20 guys. All right. This to show you that how sick some people are. Okay. These are people who cannot have like almost any contact with the outside world besides visitors. And when there's visitors and they have visitors, which is almost very rarely, we, kind of always put them in a corner somewhere, keep them away from children. Because you had families who would come and visit their loved ones in prison. So it was what we were looking for were the guys who were creating little handbooks that were about this, I don't know, like this big. Like what is it? What's it called? Flashcards, okay. They were writing stories, and some of these were like this thick, like 40, 50 flashcards. They were writing stories of children that they would groom and have sexual relation with. They would say, "This is my fantasy. I want you to draw it and write a script for it and make it into like a little magazine for me." We found dozens of these all across the prison. Things happen to those type of guys in prison. Bad things happen to those type of people in prison. And you would think that you'd be so far removed from your sinful fantasy and need to sexually assault a child that you wouldn't go any further with that. But these men did. They did. They wouldn't give it up. Oh, by the way, they were all in their early 20s. They were all in their early 20s. I always suggest for men, if you want a good education of the world, go work in a prison for 3 or 4 months. Go work at your local jail 3 to 4 months. Not only are you going to learn some very useful skills with your hands, you are not going to be afraid of putting your hands on people, but you're going to know the guys who only do this, the peacocks. And you're going to know the guys that you should always keep your eyes on. Always keep your back to the wall and your eyes on those guys when they walk by. 95% of them are mouthpieces. 95% of them, what we used to call them, crash dummies. Idiots, prima donnas, trying to be hard in front of a bunch of guys. And then you get to test their concrete allergies. Most people do have an allergic reaction to concrete. So, as a man, if you don't have the aptitude to go out and go to the military or go be a police officer, if you don't feel like you need to do that, but you still want to, you don't want that much commitment, but you still want to be prepared and get good life skills, go be a temporary jailer. I'm telling you, man, you're going to learn some stuff. You're going to learn what gang members really look like. You're going to learn what serial rapists, serial murders, terrorists, cartel members, the local drunks, the mouthy teenagers, you'll know them all. And you'll learn to be okay in your own skin while they sit there and they run their mouth and they try to intimidate you. That's what it's all about. It's trying to intimidate you. There's a bunch of inmates who are on YouTube, former inmates, excuse me, who are on YouTube, who have become YouTube famous for being tough guys in YouTube for, you know, whatever it is that happened to them in prison. Look, I'm not going to say anything bad about those guys. I've seen one or two episodes because I don't care to watch stuff like that. I just hope that they're scaring people straight to never go to prison. But outside of that, all these fanciful stories of how hard prisoners are. No, it is not hard. It is kill or be killed at points and times. I mean, I've seen blacks kill whites. I've seen whites kill Mexicans. Mexicans kill Asians. Asians kill Mexicans, back and forth. I've seen them pay other races to kill other races, pay people to kill their own people. Had one guy, he was stabbed 130 times in the sternum. And by the time all the officers got there, there was just a big hole in his chest. And the coroner said that he had so much tissue loss in the cavity of his chest, and that the other inmate was stabbing him so hard that parts of concrete were actually in his sternum, in his lungs, in his stomach, clogged on top of his heart, his intestines, because the knife kept penetrating the body cavity and would just dent and create like a little hook. You can't freaking see. It would create a little hook, and that hook would grab some of that concrete and jerk it back out. And that's why the coroner found concrete in his cavity of his chest. Yep. Men in America typically don't understand the necessary need to prepare to be around people like this. You don't know it because they're all around you all the time. You don't know what people have done, what they're currently doing, or what they're going to be doing, or what they're capable of doing. And maybe that's even irrelevant. It's what are you, Christian man, prepared to do? Are you prepared to defend life and limb, the safety of people around you and your own family, yourself? Or are you going to be another sheep torn apart by the wolves? I'm not going to say every Christian man needs to go through some sort of training. I'm at the rate, I guess you could say, to where I don't care if you go to training, if you don't go to training. You can go to our training coming up in February and March. We're going to have a training event every single day this year, every month. We got two in Texas in April. And so, you know, you can come hang out with us, get some good training, get some good life skills. I'll teach you everything that I know, or go to, you know, any of these other guys' training. Learn something. Learn how to use your hands. Learn how to use your voice, how to give commands, that officer presence, as we say, you know, using your body as a weapon before you actually have to physically put your hands on somebody and hurt them. But it's almost like the same frustrating thing with preaching to people. You know, I can preach all day long the gospel. Stop drinking. Stop watching pornography. Gentlemen, pay attention to your kids. Stop hanging out with your drinking buddies. They're not surrogate children and a surrogate wife. Don't listen to every single thing that your overbearing mother tells you, or your overbearing father who wants to live vicariously through you now. Be your own man. Separate yourself from the nest. I can tell women, support your man. Don't be a pushover. Also understand that you need to be tender and caring and nurturing. And maybe, you know, not a nag 24/7. And for some of you men, maybe you should learn how to treat your woman the way you want to be treated. And if you want to be treated adversely, then maybe you don't deserve her. maybe men and women, especially at the church, need a little less pep talk, a little less pat you on the head. You're a good Christian. Keep singing your hymns and your gospels. Everything's going to be fine. And Christ will come back, and in a blink of an eye and twinkling of a whatever, you'll all be caught up in the clouds, and then you'll all miss the judgment. Whatever you guys want to believe, whatever you guys care about, I'm just a voice in the wind. I'm nothing more than a figment of your imagination. Because people are going to do what they want to do as Christians too, as adults. You know, I mean, if you took, for example, how many years my wife told me I really would like for you to quit smoking. And I mean, I was a chain smoker. I was a chain smoker in high school. I was a chain smoker in the military. I was definitely in Iraq. I was like 3 packs of Marlboro Reds a day in Iraq. Then when I got in law enforcement, I was still a chain smoker. It was really more of a nerves kind of thing. But of course, the addiction's there. But you got to understand, as also as a man who's completely okay of talking about his own failings, it was a safety blanket for me, like alcohol was too. Oh, something bad happened to me today. Time to smoke my cigarettes and drink my beer. It was weakness. It was weakness. My flesh was weak. My wife saw that. My wife wanted me to be the epitome of what a man should have been and not be dependent and reliant on these things that were actually coping mechanisms because, you know, I didn't cry. I didn't talk about my feelings. I didn't talk about some of the horrific that I've seen in my past. Very rarely would I ever open up to my wife about anything. And, you know, once again, I was a train wreck. I was a train wreck. And through my wife's persistence, I quit smoking. I quit drinking. I turned to God. And it's been a 360-degree recovery. And now I'm much more emotionally open to my children, unlike my father, who was never that way. And I know there's plenty of dudes who've emailed me about, you know, their experiences with their dads. And look, guys, being the tough guy, don't cry, you know. And my dad was violent. So not everyone had a violent dad. But, and that was also a side, not too many people ever saw my dad. But, you know, when you learn that your children look up to you for everything, and when God finally removed the rebar from my heart and you know, ripped the monster out of me, I was finally able to really see clearly for the first time. I could see clearly now, the rain's gone. And I realized just how much of a despicable person I was. I was a complete reflection of all the things I didn't like about the Marine Corps, working in overseas, working in prisons, and working in law enforcement. And all those guys that I didn't like and all the things that I experienced, I had consumed it all and had become the same thing that I didn't like anymore. And that's when God really started putting on my heart, I want you to start to prepare mentally and spiritually to leave what you're doing. Around 2018, 2019. And so, you know, guys, the journey is long. The road is bumpy. And you're going to lose a lot of friends along the way. You're going to lose family along the way. But once you've lost them, take a step back and actually look. What did you lose? What did you really lose? Did you really lose anything, or did you lose the drama, right? My wife is the greatest asset that I have in my life. So I want to honor her with everything that I do. She takes care of my children. So I take care of the house. I do my best to cook as much as possible and to clean as much as possible because for, like 13, 14 years, that was her. So now, adversely, I see what she went through. And so now we're both on like the same equal footing, equal level of understanding. And it's helped me as a man to learn to be more of a servant and to lead by serving than to lead as this dominant male alpha figure. Now, don't think that my wife does not appreciate, admire, or chase after my dominant male alpha figure. She absolutely does. But it's the serving part that men don't understand. Why do we train? Do I train to keep myself prepared because my life is means that much to me? No. I train so that no matter what, daytime, nighttime, piss pouring rain like it is outside right now, that this weapon, this tool, has become a part of me, and I can shoot it left-handed, right-handed. I've trained myself, gentlemen, that if I'm going to be the leader of my family an asset to my family, then I need to take that serious. And video games don't help me. Going fishing every weekend doesn't help me. Now, I'm not saying take all of your vices and throw them in the garbage and become a warrior monk. To each his own. I've already done all my cool guy stuff. But I want to make sure that my heart is right with God. So that's why the Bible is never within or never without of an arm's distance of me. And neither is my gun. I want my children to be raised godly, and I want them to have a long, long, successful life. And I will always make sure that I'm there for them as much as possible. Many parents abandon their children at 16, 17, 18. Still to this day, get out of the house. You're 18. Get out of my house. Time for me to go have my life back. I was watching this TikTok or whatever the hell the thing is called on YouTube. And this woman, I was so irate by watching this. I had to tell my wife. This woman said, "I'm giving up the full custody of my two children to my ex-husband so that I could have a single life and go dating again." I don't know what's more despicable, the pedophiles or the parents who choose themselves every time over their children. When the Bible says that the love for many will wax cold, Philadelphia is broken. The brotherly love is broken. That warm, nurturing, motherly nature of women is broken. The strong, alpha, domineering man who conquered the world, cleared out all the force of all the monsters, all them, hey women, all them roads you drive on, them cars you drive, the cell phone you're talking on, the internet that you're using, most of the clothes that you have, anytime you've flown in the sky, and the people who fight and die for this country, typically 99% of that are men doing those jobs to get those natural resources to make almost everything in every factory, every tool, all these things that you take for granted, engineered by men, designed by men, upkept by men. And yet we have this weird feminist thing where now you have these young 18, 19, 20-year-old girls who are like, "I don't need a man." Well, then go out to the Sahara Desert and go make your utopia, and let's see how long you last. Like the Truman Show. We'll videotape everything. You ain't going to do nothing if you don't have the experience, the skill, the necessary want to do things completely on your own and rebuild an entire civilization. Good luck. But instead, how about we learn to live in a little bit of unity? And this comes down to the Christian household. There are Christian women who are feminists. There are Christian men who are feminist because they are feminine. And they're against male masculinity. Of course, with their pastel polos and their cool comb over hair. I get it. I get it. It's hip to be anti-masculine right now. I don't care about that. I'm never going to be that way. If you want to castrate yourself, man, go right on ahead. But for what the Lord is calling you to be, the Lord doesn't look at man or at woman and says, man, I want you to start thinking like a woman, walking like a woman, talking like a woman, acting like a woman. Hell, I want you to say that you are a woman, though we all know you're not. I want you to think it, though. I want you to make me believe it. And then I want you to beat all your swords into plowshares. There's a season for that last part. But that's not what God's called men to do. God is actually warned in the Bible. My men have become like women. My women have become like men. And women, just because you give yourself a flat top, you start wearing Carhartt and Timberland boots, that doesn't make you a man. And because there are women who listen to me right now who wear that same thing. You have forgotten that it is a blessing for you to have your femininity, to have the long hair, the looks, all the things that God has precisely designed the female body, the human female, to look like. That's God's intelligent design. Why are you messing with it? You think you know better? Anything that you do to take away from the design of the human body, male or female, because there's only two of us, you are taking away, degrading God's intelligent design. I see it in the church. I see it in relationships. When I go to the gym, I see it. You have a culture of teenagers that are so highly sexualized. That's all they talk about. And the internet is not a safe place for children. It's not. The internet is not a safe place for adults. And yet, here I am on InfoWars. And people are ready for the Civil War. You're not ready to have an argument with somebody, and you're ready for the Civil War. Some of you are having a hard time going up and down stairs right now because you're obese. You ready for the Civil War? Because it's going to affect you as well. Those of us with children, are you ready for a Civil War, Dad? Mom? You ready to have sleepless nights? Eventually, when the power goes out and you don't have the water, are you ready to go and test your skills to see if you got what it takes to go get a gallon of water for your kids? Because someone else out there is willing to do it and to take it off your dead body. That is the world that you live in. That is reality. I didn't throw anything extra sci-fi into that at all. That is reality. I do my best to try to put people in a reality-based frame of mind that you better be willing to do everything possible to go home. If that means you have to negotiate your way, you got to use your verbal judo to look like a bad guy, to escape having to get into a fight with somebody, or if you actually do have to fight somebody, or if you have to just run for your life because you went to the wrong place, wrong time. We don't think about these things because in America, you wake up at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I got to go to work. I got to get my breakfast, my coffee, my Starbucks, my car started. I got to go to work. I got to deal with these idiots. I got to do this paperwork, make all this bunch of crap, or chase a bunch of idiots. And then I come home and I rest and I relax and I give myself about an hour with my wife, an hour with my kids. Maybe I'll go to the gym. Maybe I'll play video games for 4 or 5 hours. And I won't be instructing my children. I won't be enjoying my quality time with my spouse. At one point in time, that was me, just to escape reality. What you don't realize is that it's eating away at your soul. There are many people who they went to college because they believe college was a good thing. I need my degree so that I can have a better chance at these higher paying jobs. Nothing wrong with that. What you start to realize, though, is those higher paying jobs are being given away to people who are not American and who are not the same skin tone as you. Reality sucks, right? Some people who absolutely don't deserve the job because of creed or sex or sexuality, they get the job instead of the person who deserves it. I saw that in law enforcement. I saw that in the military. It's, so goes the way of the world. But people are not ready to deal with reality as it, that they live in right now, everyday work. They mess that up all the time. Because we're so focused on work. And then you don't know what you had until you lose it all, until the power goes out, until we get invaded, until you get fired because of the next pandemic. Your bank that you were a part of working at for like 20 years went under. What did we lose? 70 banks? 70 American banks in 2023. Look at the pipeline. I know so many guys because I live here in Texas. So many guys who worked on that Keystone pipeline, the XL pipeline. And then when Biden canceled it all, man, that was like 10,000 jobs never got replaced. So, I understand we all have Goliaths that we're fighting. But you got to put Christ first in your life. And then from there, you got to start getting mentally prepared for when prophecy hits the fan. What are you going to do? Are you going to freak out and cry and go to your antidepressants? Start, smoking cigarette after cigarette, drinking Jack Daniels until you cry yourself to sleep. I did that at once. Doesn't work. Didn't help. Especially now with my relationship with my wife. You got to understand, guys, if I pulled out, because it's sitting right up there, the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I started, because I'm going to do this, and I'm going to start reading to you guys some of the stories that are out of this book. Are you willing and ready to lay your life down for Christ? I mean, really, really ready. And all you rich guys, you ready to lose your millions, your billions for your savior that you talk about all the time? Are you ready for it? Would you lay it all down? Jesus asked a rich man one time, lay down all of his net worth, lay down all of his money, come follow me. Guy didn't. Chose money. I think here in 2024, it's such a precarious time. It's such an interesting time to see prophecy coming to life. And it makes me think of so many things. But I think of you, all you guys that are out there, your level of preparedness. Do you got the food you need? Do you got your gas? Look at this winter storm that just hit. Over 40 people have died in America because of this winter storm, because they were caught out in the storm while traveling in their vehicles. Do you have the necessary components inside your vehicle in case you get trapped because you ran out of gas during the middle of a blizzard? You know, I mean, things that we don't think about until it's too late. You know, I'm not saying to be prepared for every single doomsday scenario event. That's ludicrous. But you got to have some basic elemental form of protection and of survival knowledge and skills, and then also the survival items in case something does happen. You know, in the South, at least where we're at, we always had floods and hurricanes. You know, there were points and times when the hurricane was going to hit, because we lived through Katrina and Rita. And I mean, we lived in ground zero. And, you know, you couldn't leave. Water rose too fast. It was a couple years ago. One of the last hurricanes hit, I think it was Matthew. Maybe it was Matthew. Our old house back in Lumberton, Texas, where we lived at down by Black Bayou. I mean, it was 10 acres that we lived on, but it went downhill to the bayou. And then the water rose so fast, so high, and just kept coming in that the second story of the house was underwater. And that was about 8 feet above where it was on the 100-year flood, like the Great Flood of Texas. So you got to be prepared for stuff. I see people with their heads in the sand, and the average American has their head so far in the sand, they're probably looking at the core of the earth. And I just don't want to see the house of God be caught up in the same thing. I don't know what your preachers are preaching about when you go to church. I hope he's talking about repentance and sin. But, you know, ask yourself, are you having these types of conversations at church? Does the church have a plan for in case a family goes through a crisis? Can the church take that family in as it's supposed to and help supply the needs for that family or a community? And typically the answer is, I don't know. We never talk about it. Well, shame on you. Talk about it. Get prepared for it. Are you prepared for an active shooter in your church? If you need active shooter training at your church and you have a team, an active shooter, you know, security team at your church, and they need training, they need to be tested, give us a call, Vindicta Solutions. You know, we've had a lot of people reach out to us for many different tasks. But even when we're training people, you know, they'll bring all their Gucci equipment, their helmets, and their plate carriers, and their rifles, and their pistols. And most of them don't know how to hold a pistol correctly. A lot of them, they've got this brand new $2,000, $3,000 AR-15. They've never shot it. You don't need the most expensive equipment out there. You just need something good and reliable. And after that, you need to start training with it. How many people would go and get an airplane right now if you don't know how to fly one? Why would you get a gun, never train with it? You're more likely to shoot yourself with that gun than to ever go out and buy a plane and just try to fly the dang thing. People don't think the way a lot of us do, and I get that, and it can be taxing at times. What I'm trying to say because I think I've just been rambling for like the last hour. What I'm trying to say is, supposedly Yemen is about to get bombed by us, and we may even have a ground invasion into Yemen. That's what the intelligence that I'm hearing is saying. It could be inaccurate. It could be rumors. Black Swan event supposed to happen here in America, probably also internationally. You might want to get ready for that one. It's probably going to happen in 2024 because Donald Trump is definitely going to be the guy for the Republicans. So, and we can't have Trump as president, so be ready for that. If everybody who hates Trump and he's this and he's that, I get it and I don't care. I don't care. Trump is not a make or break for me. It just politics is what it is, and Trump is probably going to be the president if, the Biden administration doesn't step in. But we know the WEF, the New World Order, the Satanists, the Illuminati, and everybody is in everybody's playbook. I get it. I got it. Thanks. Are you prepared? Because they're threatening, for whatever reason, if one of their own gets in power, World War III, pandemics, killing the economy, cyber attacks, grid downs, civil unrest in America, possibly civil war. Like, are you ready? Don't think it's not going to happen. Don't think we live in this whole, oh, it'll never happen to me world. How many people in Kenosha thought the entire town was going to get set on fire because some guy named George Floyd died? A guy who died doing what he loved, being a criminal. And we haven't even seen the beginning of this whole Epstein stuff either. So, take some courses, get medical training, buy some radios, learn how to use them. And it doesn't have to be a ham radio, a two-way radio back and forth between you and your buddy, or you and your wife, or you and your husband. That way, you know how to talk on a radio back and forth. You don't sound like an idiot. And just simplify it. Don't use 10 codes. Don't try to act like you're in the military unless it's a bunch of veterans talking or a bunch of cops talking. Then I get it. Other than that, radio language should be, hey, you, this is me. Hey, me, this is you. Or whatever. Like, hey, I see you. Yeah, I see you too. Thanks. I've dealt with this with training civilians. Don't make things more difficult on yourself than you're already making things, and that the situation, the scenarios are already difficult enough. Don't compound it. So, radio training, medical training. Do not skip over medical training. We're looking at, I think, reaching out to a few different guys or companies who do medical training, and potentially hosting something or inviting some of these guys out to our training. That way they can put on their own like day of like their own medical training. You gotta be well-rounded, right? You gotta be well-rounded when you talk about combat operations. And you got a lot of guys who they think they know a lot of things and they just don't. And you can tell most of the time by the gear they wear or by the guns they have. But, a simple radio communication course, medical course, like I said, don't overlook that. See if even your local ambulance companies will put on something, your EMTs, your fire rescue guys, if they'll put on a course. Heck, or just say, look, can I pay you $200 and you teach 10 of us how to put on tourniquets and pressure bandages, clear airways, do CPR, learn how to use an AED. I was a first aid CPR AED instructor. That's very simple, basic things that you do need to learn how to do. How many people know how to clear the airway of an infant if they're choking? Right, you can go through Red Cross classes, and Red Cross is kind of crap, but you can go through those classes and learn that and become a certified instructor in it. There's stuff that you can do. You don't have to just go to NRA firearms training. There's a bunch of firearms instructors out there that are veterans, that are police officers my age, that are teaching you the latest of skills, who are typically up to date on tactics, typically up to date on the security threat of the world. Those are the people that you want to go and seek out and talk to. And from there, another thing I would tell people to do is seek out three gun shooters, guys who are like professional firearm shooters. Nobody shoots faster, straighter, or more accurate than those guys. They're who the military and law enforcement seeks out to train us on how to shoot faster and more accurately. So you got to be a well-rounded package, right? You know, you don't have to have the most expensive gear like I do over here. Get out and actually use your guns. I'm going to speak more on this. The Vindicta Solutions team, we're going to have more conversations like this. And I'll also try to invite some other people on so we can start talking about prepping again, but in an orderly fashion and not like a, hey, today you need a prep. Call whatever metals and buy gold and silver and there, buy your satellite phone and now you're prepared. No, you're not. Unless you're going to beat someone to death with a satellite phone and eat the gold and silver, it's a lot more than that. You got to know, and I'll give myself 4 minutes. You got to know this, how to talk to people. 99% of all your fights are going to be verbal. You're going to have 1%, and I'll divide that almost in half, 1% where you'll actually have to present a weapon. And half of that 1%, you'll actually have to use the weapon. The problem is that 1% happens in a split second. A split second. Sometimes you can see them walking down the street, so you can get ready for it. You see it coming. But it's a 1% chance out of 100 that you'll ever have to do anything physical. And maybe a half a percent that is actually deadly. 99% is going to be some guy looking big and bad, running his mouth with all of his buddies because there's strength in the pack. And most men are cowards. Yeah, most American men are cowards, cowardly in the patriot community and also Christians. I do not care if I offend you when I say that. Most guys are not ready for you to walk right up and hit them in the mouth. They want to do this and they want to stick their arms out and look big and bad. And those are guys who've probably never gotten to a fight before. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to freaking hit you. I'm going to tackle you and I'm going to curb stomp you until you're dead. That's how I fight because I don't know who you are. I don't need to get hit by the next unknown Mike Tyson and never wake up again. So when I go to fight somebody, it's to win, a brutal win. As fast as humanly possible, not trying to roll on the ground with you for 3 to 4 minutes and do jujitsu. I'm going to start snapping fingers and ripping ears off. I'll do everything I possibly can. Eye gouge, pull hair. I'll shove my freaking fist in your mouth until your jaw breaks. When you get into an actual fight, you do whatever you can to survive. Some of you right now are snickering at that. I'm telling you right now, most people, they haymaker, they go real wild with their punches. You want to be really deadly on the street? Go take simple, basic boxing. Not karate, boxing. Learn how to be a pugilist. Learn some form of takedown defense, some form of submission. So wrestling's a good one. Jiu-jitsu's another amazing skill to learn. Not only that, but typically with wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and boxing, you're also working out. So you're getting in shape. You're getting many things accomplished at one time, and you're becoming mentally tougher. And women, you should be doing it too. You want your kids to be doing something safe? Yank their butts out of football. put them in wrestling, boxing, and jiu-jitsu. It's safer, and they're learning a skill that they're probably actually going to use. So, I've been running my mouth for too long. Friday, we have Chance Gibson of Simply Clean Foods. We're going to talk with Chance. And then next week, I believe on the 3rd, we'll have another special guest. Tonight, I'm going to be on with Pastor Butch on GS Radio. So if you guys want to catch me there, you can call in and talk if you want. But after that, I've probably pissed a lot of people off. Whatever. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to tell you what you need to be told. For all those who do care, love you. Hope you're doing well. God be with you. Remember, no backward step. Don't give Satan, don't give the enemy any foothold in your life. Set up the phalanx, set up that shield wall of faith. Protect one another, protect your family, protect your brother to the left and right of you. Men, stand up and be men again. Become the warrior priest that Jesus expects you to be. See you next time. Stay frosty.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.